As you can tell there, this is our fifth lesson in a series on prayer. And I wish I could go down the list for you and tell you just the things in the last 2 weeks that that God has been doing. Probably wouldn't be appropriate to get too personal at this time, but God has really been, people, you guys, have really been responding, and I believe the focus, the intensity, the reliance on God has began to take a step up. And, you know, the thing I'm so thankful to God for, one thing, is how He, you know, when we make a move towards something like this, in a body like this, to become a real praying church, and we take a baby step, it seems like He just responds and just honors that. And it's like I want us to take full advantage of that. Because sometimes in the early stages like this, when we really respond to what God is calling us to, and it's a new territory for us, God really obviously and openly lets us know that He is moving in response to the prayers of His people. And I've seen that happen. I've seen it happen directly without a shadow of a doubt. That this is God, and we're praying, and God's moving. So, I would just encourage us to, you know, it's always scary to move ahead with the Lord. It's always scary. It always requires faith. It's always, we think that life, as we know it, is going to be over, and we're going to be miserable if we follow God in this area. And lo and behold, a whole door of joy and delight opens up to us when we truly obey God. What we thought would be sacrifice is not, because we cannot bump into an almighty, all-knowing, all-present God and come away with less. It just doesn't happen. It does not happen. It comes across as surrender and sacrifice, but then when we follow through, it is not. And I don't know. If you've ever read something by some of these missionaries or somebody that has really, literally given all for Christ. And I forgot the quote. I can't remember if it was David Brainerd. I cannot remember. But someone asked, has it been worth, David Brainerd, missionary to the American Indians at on the frontier days, and nobody else was doing this. He's riding his horse with tuberculosis and just, you would think, just a miserable existence. And someone asked, is it worth the sacrifice? And he says, what sacrifice? Not trying to be smart, not trying to be a hero, but what sacrifice? I'm walking with God. He is making me aware of His presence every day. There is what sacrifice? So, I don't think God's calling you to ride horseback across the country with tuberculosis yet. But whatever it is He's calling you to, it's something. I will assure you, if you don't know what it is, then you might need to listen a little closer. He's calling you to another step in His direction. And so I would encourage you to follow through. And it could be the way God works. It could be the very thing we're dealing with. The very thing we're dealing with. So, He desires to speak to us, even this morning, even through the foolishness of preaching. He desires to speak to us. So, let's pray real quick. God, we just, we look to You. We rely on You. Lord, we're just stumbling around if we're doing this in our own strength. We look to You, and we believe You, that You will speak to us, that You'll reveal more of Yourself to us. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, I've told you, every single week we open up with this thing. Are you getting tired of this? Prayer is first about relationship. You guys know I can be kind of, come across as kind of radical. I'll just jump on something with both feet. And I'm trying to tone that down a little bit, not in heart, but in presentation. as I mature a little bit. Let's turn to John 15:5. Because, you know, in the past, I've spoken about prayer, and sometimes I've focused on the sacrifice of it, on the intensity of it, when that's not the heart of prayer. The heart of prayer is relationship. So let's read a few of these verses, and I think you'll get a picture here. And we've tried to, if you haven't been here, every single week, we've opened up with this same little topic. Prayer is first about relationship. And we've looked at it from a different aspect every week. And so here we are again. You can follow through on the verses listed there. It'll be verse 5 and 15 and 16. John 15. I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. And 15. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. Then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. Then the Father will give you whatever. Prayer follows the friendship. The friendship, the relationship, the abiding in Christ, the walking in Him, walking in the Spirit, walking in dependence on Him. There is a place of relationship with God that so many Christians never attain to because they're holding themselves back from God, not God holding Himself back from us. It's a place of peace and joy and walking in the presence of God. Like I said, if we're going to get there and stay there, there are going to be things we come across that appear as sacrifice. And prayer just happens to be one of those things. But prayer is not a separate entity from relationship. True prayer, if you know somebody that truly prays, that really is a prayer, then it will not surprise you to find out they're really a prayer, because you'll see their life and you'll see the fruit in their life. And then when you find out they really pray, you'll go, oh, okay, that's not. But if somebody tells you how much they pray and they pray all the time and their life doesn't show it, then you're not obligated to believe them when they say that they pray all the time. Because prayer flows out of a relationship and a walk with God. It's not a separate entity. And you know, this thing comes as we talk about friendship with God, relationship, obedience flowing out of relationship, not the law. Another thing comes to me is that the language of prayer. You know, this thing of so many times when people are new to Christianity, new to the church, they're so afraid to pray and to pray out loud, or let's make, because they don't have this, oh, thou art God, the great God of the heaven, and we come in humble submission. You talk to any of your friends like that? If you do, you probably don't have very many friends anymore. Because that's put on. It's hokey. And I think that's what God thinks about it too. Now, there's due respect, of course, to God. But God doesn't have a language of prayer. He has the language that you speak, whatever language that happens to be. And that's the language He wants you to talk to Him in. One of the most beautiful prayers I've ever heard is from a brand new Christian. And it's somebody in this that came to know the Lord in this body and could not understand the Bible, tried to read the Bible, could not understand the Bible, struggling. And then one day, turned it over to God and prayed, and it was like there were three or four of us there. And we're just like, that's the most beautiful thing I've ever heard. Simple, no religion in it. Just all of a sudden there was relationship with God. And all of a sudden there was friendship. And there was open, honest communication with God. And that was prayer. That was prayer. There's another story behind that, is why it's got to me a little bit. I won't tell you that part of it right now, but and you know, there's just in the language of prayer. And who do we talk to when we pray? Well, we don't have to do mental gymnastics. Well, am I talking to the Father? Am I talking to the Son? Am I talking to the Holy Spirit? We don't have to do mental gymnastics. When we talk to God, we talk to God. We talk to the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. If you say, "Oh, Jesus, help me," that's not just you know, there are three and one. The Godhead hears that prayer. And if we decide to talk to the Holy Spirit and say, "Oh, Holy Spirit, open your word up to me today." Well, the Holy Spirit's going to do that. But you know, God the Father, God the Son, you're praying to the Godhead. You're praying to the triune God. You don't pick one out and tell secrets. So don't do mental gymnastics about who you're talking to. You know, if you say, "Oh, Father," or if you say, "Lord," you're talking to God. So you don't understand God. Neither do I. He's too big for us to understand. But we accept by faith what we're told in the Word. And we talk to God, and He responds to our prayers. So we don't have to figure all that out. We just talk to God. Like we talk to a friend. Moses talked to God face to face as a man talks to his friend. And we can do the same. So just a little update for where we've been so far. Prayer and the Word. I'll remind you this every week, huh? We stay close to the Word when we pray. So we don't get out there on some tangent somewhere, praying contrary to what God has revealed in His Word. And prayer is God's method. You know, why did God choose to do this? I don't really know. He chose to respond and do His work in response to the prayers of His people. If you see supposedly God's work going on and there's not behind the scenes praying going on, you have trouble convincing me it's God's work. I don't care what it looks like. God moves and responds to the prayers of His people. We call on Him and He will answer. The next thing we looked at was stop and pray. Get off the treadmill. Get off the merry-go-round. Stop and pray. Whatever responsibilities, whatever things you have, whatever hobbies you have, we have to put it all to a stop and pray. Perseverance in prayer. You know, we need a clue in here that pray and don't give up. Pray and don't give up. Persevere and pray. Knock and the door will be opened over and over and over. We're told so. We know it must be required. And we're going to run into it. But we have to persevere in prayer. Pray and not give up. Faith in prayer. Call on me and I will answer you. There are all kinds of aspects of prayer that we do not understand. Aspects of God we don't understand. But He told us to call on Him and He will respond. Now, it's not really a question of praying more or doing more. It's a question of, will you believe God? Will you believe Him? It's not a question, it's not really, am I going to pray more? Am I going to be more intense? It's, am I going to believe God? The God of the ages has promised, if we come in contact with Him, if we pray in the direction of His will, and we pray believing that He will answer. There are so many promises and relationship promised that if we're not praying, I just got to assume we just don't believe. Why else would you not make contact with God? You're not believing. You don't have faith if you're not praying. So, start believing. It's an act of the will. It's an act of the will. If you have the Holy Spirit living in you, then you have the power by an act of your will to say, I believe the promises of God. I believe He'll respond if I call out to Him. I'm going to do it, and I'm going to believe. Hints, we talked about hints for prayer, just some practical things. And we're going to, next week, I believe, I'm going to give you a tool that you can use for extended times of prayer, even a full day in prayer. Can you believe that? Anybody here ever prayed a whole day? I mean, not just as you walk around praying, but set aside a whole day. Said, somebody's going to watch the kids. Somebody's going to take care of these minor responsibilities. I'm going to stop and I'm going to pray. And that may sound like, oh my goodness, I can't even pray for my 15 minutes quiet time. How am I going to? It's possible. And there a prayer retreat we're going to talk about next week, having a prayer retreat, a personal prayer retreat. It's something that I've practiced some before undertaking anything of any significance. That to get away and spend the whole day listening, asking, seeking. And you can gear up for that. We'll talk about it. We're going to talk about that next week. We did talk about some practical hints. Having a time and a place. That if you don't know when you're going to be spending time alone with God, time in the Word and time praying, then it's probably not going to happen. So, just practical thing. You just set aside a time and a place. And have a plan. You know, just jot down your own little outline of what you're going to do during that time, and what you're going to read, what you're going to talk to God about, and it just helps. It kind of condenses things. Intercession, praying for another as you would pray for yourself. It's taking the burden and the sin of another person into the Holy of Holies. We are all priests, a holy nation priesthood. And so we can and have the privilege and the responsibility to do this. We do pray for ourselves, of course, but we take on the burdens of others and we take them in to the holy place, to God. And we can stand in the gap. We can intercede for another person. And God does something special when we do that. He will change hearts. He will change minds. He will change actions. He will rebuke Satan. He will move in response to the intercession of His people. And if we don't think intercession is important, why is Jesus doing it right now? We're told that He ever is interceding for His people. He right now is interceding for us and continues to do that. He does it 24 hours a day. We're told that in the Word directly. So if it's important for Him to do, and He calls us to do it, certainly there's a high priority placed on intercession. And within that intercession, we talked about a deeper aspect of prayer. That praying until you pray. Praying until you lay hold of God's promises and the Holy Spirit gives you faith that this thing is going to happen. Have you ever prayed until you pray? Pray until you know you are in contact with God. It's a place you don't... In one sense, you want to run because of the holiness of God. In another sense, you never want to leave. Pray until you pray. It can take a time commitment to do that. It's a deeper level, and that's where we want to go. But you know what? We don't want to pray like that. I don't want to pray like that. I avoid it. I'm not sure. Maybe it's that old nature that just wants to keep God at a distance. But that's normal, natural, that we want to avoid that. Just what we anticipate as the sacrifice of it. But if we'll push on through, we come in contact with God. Okay. And then last week I had my story of praying from 20 years ago when I didn't know a thing but except to pray. I won't tell that story again though. You can listen to it on the tape. Why can't I pray? You know, I don't know how many times I've heard this. I've heard it if people are honest anyway. I can't pray. Why can't I pray? Or why can't I pray anymore? So let's take a look at this. Why prayerlessness? Why is there prayerlessness? Why is there prayerlessness in your own life at times? And why is there prayerlessness in my life at times? First of all, let me just get really, really basic. There's one way to God. There's one avenue of access to God. And that's Jesus on the cross. And obviously, if you have not come to the place where you see Jesus on the cross, nailed to the cross, dying as your substitute, and you say, God, like Abel said, remember when he offered that sacrifice in his heart, what he said, of what we assume he said, when he offered that first sacrifice, that lamb, oh God, that should be me. Take the death of this lamb in place of me. Unless we have said to God, take the death of the Lamb of God in place of me, a substitute for me. I deserve death. I repent of my sin. I'm a sinner. I deserve death for the payment of my sin. That's access to God. That's the only way to have access to God. Now, I'm not telling you that in your days before coming to Christian that God didn't deal with you and you knew He dealt with you. That's the way God will pull us. He'll pull us towards Himself and pull us towards Himself and towards Himself. And we know He's dealing. We can look back as a child, as a teenager. We weren't a Christian, but we know God was dealing with us. But I'm talking about true prayer, communication with God, about His kingdom, about Him and about you. That only access to that is through the substitutional death of Jesus, and you have the Holy Spirit living in you. These are the only people that can pray like that. True Christians. God is the one that made it that way. We have no argument with Him. So, you all know that. But if you don't have that, then your prayer just may be an emotional experience without reality. Okay, why can't I pray? Here is a central reason that I believe people cannot pray. Is your goal in life is not His goal. you're not moving in step with God. You have your own set of plans, your own desire, your own mode of what you want to do with your life, and it doesn't match God. He's not going to hear your prayer in that direction. It's not in the name of Jesus. We're more concerned about self than God's purpose. This is the chief reason for prayerlessness. Not so much a discipline problem, not so much a theology problem, but a self preoccupation. You remember we looked at some verses that had to do with this in Haggai. We won't go there right now. But when the Jewish people, they neglected the temple of God, and they were paneling their own houses. They were fixing up their own houses to live in luxury, and God wasn't blessing them. They were concerned about themselves. They were not just concerned about the kingdom. Somehow, until we turn that corner, and God's purpose is our purpose, we are concerned about His kingdom. We are concerned about the Great Commission. We are concerned about people knowing God. We're concerned about Christ being formed in others. The desires of God. That's when our prayers are answered. When we're running with God. Running with God in His direction. Psalm 34, 7, 17 and 18. This next reason that prayerlessness is that we've mentioned it already. You simply don't believe God. We simply don't believe God. Those who look to Him are radiant. Their faces are never covered with shame. 17. The righteous cry out, and the Lord hears them. He delivers them from all their trouble. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted and save those who are crushed in spirit. You know, with those promises to us, the unlimited God will answer our prayer. He'll lift us out of the pit. He'll save us and deliver us. And yet we don't turn to Him. Why else would that be except we don't believe Him? Simple unbelief. And we can choose to believe God. I'm not giving you anything that's outside of your power if you know God. So, the next problem of prayerlessness, Psalm 66, 18. If I had cherished sin in my heart, the Lord would not have listened. It's pretty plain. If there's sin, if there's rebellion, God's not hearing your prayer. That's called prayerlessness. If He's not hearing you, if it's just one-sided, then that's not conversation. That's not prayer. If there's sin in your life, there's known sin. Even if there's unknown sin, you need to search it out and see if there is sin. He'll let you know if there is. If there's sin, there will not be prayer. You know, there's another element to this too. If you're resisting God, this will severely limit your praying. If you're afraid you won't like what He tells you, you're severely limiting your praying. If you're afraid that if you really submit to God, and you really follow Him, then He's going to tell you to go live in a hut somewhere. Or you're afraid He's going to tell you to do this or do that. And you don't think you want to do this or that. You're not going to be praying. You're limiting. You're keeping God at arm's distance. If you have something He's dealing with you on and you're resisting Him, your praying will be limited. You know, God just wants us to... God wants us to come to Him saying, oh, God, here I am. Here I am. Whatever, wherever, however, I'm yours. I'm yours. You use me. Do in me whatever you desire. Do with me whatever you desire. That opens the floodgates of prayer. That opens the floodgates of communication with God. That's what He wants. Complete dependence on Him. Okay, another problem in prayer. Trying to pray as if it was the law. Galatians 3:3. Are you so foolish? After beginning with the Spirit, are you now trying to attain your goal by human effort? Remember, obedience comes out of relationship, not of obeying a rule. If you love me, you will obey me. Our efforts are futile. Futile? How do you say it? Until we begin to abide in Christ. Let's keep going here. We'll come to a full understanding here, hopefully. Back to John 15. 15:5. I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. And let's go to Matthew 11. This will connect for you in just a minute. Matthew 11:28. Come to me, all you are weary, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart. You will find rest for your souls. My yoke is easy, my burden is light. If you are trying in your own strength, if you're trying to just to be obedient, if you've been hearing this teaching and you've said, and you've received this teaching as the law, as a rule to obey, Steve said, we've got to pray, I'm going to pray. It's not going to work. It's going to fail. But if you have submitted your will to God, if you are following Jesus, if you are cultivating that relationship with Him, you are surrendering to Him, you are depending on Him, then out of that will flow your prayer life and your desire to pray. It's plowing with Jesus. You know, the analogy here is like an oxen with the yoke, you know, pulling the big plow. And I've told you this story, I think, before, but there was a guy traveling through the countryside in an area of the world that still plows like that. And there's this huge, massive ox, if you've seen those things. And he's pulling his plow. But in the yoke with him is this little skinny, young runt of an ox with him. And the guy looked and said, now what is that? That little guy is doing absolutely nothing. He's just along for the ride. And he said, exactly. He's just learning. He's not really pulling anything. He's just getting the feel for it. He's just working together with the big one. We, until we are yoked up with Jesus, dependent on Him, it's not a heavy yoke. It looks like it. You see that big yoke. You see that big plow. And you think, I can't do this. Then you're thinking right. You can't do it. But we have to get in the plow, get in the yoke with Jesus, move in His direction, take on His purpose, take on His cause, be connected to Him, and He does it. He does it. He pulls the plow. And out of that relationship, being yoked together with Jesus, comes our prayer life. That's when we really pray. Self-effort will bring discouragement and even dread. It becomes just dreadful work. Just works. Not joy and not happiness in it, but just work. But a whole life reliance on God will bring prayer and joy. The law and trying to follow this rule because I'm telling you what to do will never bring a true prayer life. So until you turn the corner into true God dependence, then your prayer life will never be what it should be. So just as He gives you grace to love, to have joy and all these things, so in the same way He gives you grace to pray. Find out why you're not praying. If you're not praying, find out why you're not praying. If it's not working for you, seek God. Find out why it's not working for you. Okay. Real quick here. Praying together. This is something people ask about, wonder about. I told a few of you this, I think, but the last time that I was in Turkey, Matt and I were praying with one of the house churches there outside of Antioch where we'd been doing the firm foundation stuff. And we were praying for some of the people. And when we were praying for them, the interpreter was not interpreting into Turkish. We all kind of figured together, well, we're praying to God, we're talking to God, that's okay. They'll pray, we'll pray, we're all, you know, unity. But, you know, we prayed and then they prayed and it's like it was just dead. But then I asked him, I said, Sonaire, start interpreting our praying. And so he started interpreting our praying. And then they all started, you could hear them just rise up in agreement. They were agreeing with us. And when they were praying, I wanted to hear what they were saying. What are they talking to God about? And such an encouragement to me to hear what these people are talking to God about. They're praying just like we're praying. We're all praying together. I knew it. And we could agree together on it. We were praying together. And there's something about the body praying together. You know, if we're all together in a group and we're praying about something, everybody would expect me to pray. Everybody would expect Ken to pray or Carlton to pray. You guys just expect them to pray. It has not that much impact on anybody. But when somebody else prays, you know what? The impact is greater. When everybody else prays, I don't have a real explanation for that, but it encourages everybody else to pray. It does something for the body to pray together and for people to have the courage to speak up and pray. And it's not just about encouragement. It's about God hearing our prayer. Let's go to Acts, and we'll just do a quick cruise through here. Acts chapter 1. So you can follow along on the verses there. Verse 14. They all joined together constantly in prayer, along with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. And 2:42. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. 4:23. On their release, Peter and John went back to their own people and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said to them. When they heard this, they raised their voices together in prayer to God. Sovereign Lord, they said, you made the heaven and the earth and the sea and everything in them. And 4:31. After they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. And 6:3-4. Brothers, choose 7 men from among you who are known to be full of the Spirit and wisdom. We will turn this responsibility over them and will give our attention to prayer and the ministry of the word. You know, so many times in a church, the prayer is delegated to some little prayer team all over here in the corner, and that's who does the praying for the church. Well, the whole church better be praying, and the leadership, if the elders of the church don't do anything else, they better pray. It's their responsibility to pray. It's the whole church's. We do not delegate this to some small portion of the body that feels called particularly to pray. The whole church must pray. So we let our private prayer spill over into group prayer, and we let our group prayer encourage our private prayer. Something about prayer that works just like the rest of the body. Each part brings and does its part. When we're praying together, somebody's going to see something from a whole different perspective than I do. They're going to pray about that, and that's going to encourage me. It's going to wake me up to pray about that. And when we're praying together, we're agreeing together in prayer. If you're praying, I'm not daydreaming. I'm agreeing, hopefully I am. I'm agreeing with you, praying along with you. And God likes that. When we all are agreeing together in prayer. And he responds to that. And when you pray, there's some practical things here that I know that people wonder about praying in a group. It's not just praying in a gathering like this. It's praying impromptu with 3 or 4 people. It's praying when we call a prayer meeting. It's praying when it's any portion or all of the body together. You don't have to plan out what you're going to pray. Pray, you can think up a few things, but pray counting on God to lead you to pray. And when you get through, just quit. You can say amen, or you can say in Jesus' name. But, you know, Carlton and I have prayed quite a bit together, and something we agreed to together. So, you know, Carlton, when I get through praying, I'm just going to stop. If I'm mid-sentence and I stop, that means that I'd quit praying. And, you know, we just want to keep talking so we can just finish it off and sound good or something like that. Well, when I get through praying, I'm just going to stop, okay? So you understand that, and I understand it. I don't want to just have me talking. If I'm not praying, I'm going to stop. So you just pray. You just bring your request to God together, and it does something to hear other parts of the body pray. And somehow we have to come to this without undue pressure on somebody that has more trouble speaking up and praying in a group of people. Some people are more trouble than others. Just personality, just natural wise. But we still need to come to this place where we can pray together out loud. It's not that when we come together and do this, there's going to be some kind of tremendous pressure on somebody to do this. But it's just a part of body life. And so it's just something we have to learn to do. If it's just starting off with one sentence, then we start off with one sentence. It's not a rank of your maturity, if you can pray or not around people. It's probably more of a personality thing. But still, we need to do it. If it's important in the body, it's important in the family. And we have to be patient with this. Sometimes somebody is just not to the point where they're ready to. And they have to work things out with themselves and God. And we have to be patient with that. But still, we need to be moving towards this in the family where we pray together. Okay. 1 Thessalonians, our last verse. Let's go there quick and we'll wrap it up. Praying with the attitude of a mother. 1 Thessalonians 2:7. This is Paul talking here. As apostles of Christ, we could have been a burden to you, but we were gentle among you, like a mother caring for her little children. You know, what we just talked about when we started off about the moms, there's an example that Paul is following here of a mother, of how a mother cares for her children, tenderly leading them, tenderly, compassionately praying for them, taking on their interest. Of course, taking on their interest. Well, that needs to be spread throughout the body. Of course, taking on the interest of one another. Praying like a mother. Praying like that, with the attitude of a mother. We need to follow the examples, and we need to have some mothers that are giving us the good examples of this in the body, of living this out, of praying with passion and compassion. Do you see a need? Do you see somebody struggling? Do you see somebody, an area of growth in another person's life? Do you see opportunity? Then take on the burden and pray. Intercede. And you'll end up drinking from a river of delights of prayer. Truly, you will when you take this on. You pray. Try this. You pray. And you really pray. And you'll get a taste of God dependence. And you'll want more. That may sound strange, but you'll get a taste of depending on God. Because you're asking Him to do something that you can't do. To have that kind of effect on another person. It's God dependent. And when we experience that, that's where God wants us, and He blesses that.